Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Chapter 66. As I have told you before, the little village of Bethany, where Martha, Mary, and Lazarus lived, was situated near the city of Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus came to Bethany Friday evening. We told you in the former chapters the Lord Jesus had gone to Jerusalem with the thousands of Galileans to celebrate the Passover. On the way near Jericho, he cured the blind Bartimaeus. And later in Jericho, Jesus called Zacchaeus out of the sycamore tree and went with this ruler of the publicans into his house. This greatly offended the people who were walking with Jesus. After this, the Lord Jesus left Jericho and journeyed with the multitude toward Jerusalem. When he came to the village of Bethany, he lodged for the night in the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead not too long before. However, the Passover celebrants from Galilee continued on their way and arrived at Jerusalem. They tell everyone, "Jesus is on the way. He traveled with us as far as Bethany," they say. "He is there, but he surely will come for the feast." Jerusalem already is filled with strangers who have come from far and near. They have come to the capital of their native country to celebrate the Passover. These strangers already have asked each other, "Will Jesus also come?" And surely the Galileans bring the tidings Jesus has arrived in Bethany. The strangers also learn that at Bethany not too long ago, the Lord Jesus had raised a man from the dead who had lain in the grave 4 days. They become inquisitive. They would like to see and meet Lazarus to be convinced of the truth of what they have been told. "Do you know what? Bethany is not so far away, only a half-hour walking time." They decide to visit Lazarus the next day and at the same time meet Jesus. The Sabbath, the Jews' day of rest, will be observed on that day. As you know, the Jewish day of rest falls on our Saturday. Large groups of Jews leave the city of Jerusalem on this Sabbath day. They descend the hills upon which Jerusalem is built, then climb the Mount of Olives to reach Bethany, which lies on the other side of this mount. Their destination is this village of Bethany, where they will meet Lazarus. In the home of Martha, there is an unusual amount of activity on this Sabbath day. Many people come and go. With an inquisitive gaze, they look at Lazarus. Yes, it is true. He is alive, and nothing strange can be seen on him. He talks the same as every other person. They cannot notice he had been dead, nor can they see he had lain in the grave 4 days. Respect and admiration can be seen as they fix their eyes upon the Lord Jesus. Thus it is he, the plain prophet from Nazareth, who performed this great wonder. In the Gospel of John we read that many believed in the Lord Jesus. The Pharisees soon notice something unusual is going on. They see the commotion among the people. They hear their conversations. They hear everyone speaking with admiration and respect about the Lord Jesus. They can hear from the words of these people how many believe Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. They do not like this at all. Peevishness and malignity rise in their hearts, but also uneasiness. Oh, it will not go well for them. Some time ago, they had resolved to kill Jesus. They had given a command that anyone who knew where Jesus was must immediately come to tell them. And now look, would you, In large groups, the people go and seek this hated and feared Nazarene. But if these unlearned people will not be wiser, the Pharisees surely will be. With excitable haste, the Sanhedrin is called together. They will deliberate on what must be done. They must take measures to put a stop to this. But how? Oh, it is a difficult question for them, exceedingly difficult. All the signs and miracles which Jesus had performed and still performs cannot be denied. Yes, one time they did say Jesus was possessed with the devil, but they did not believe it. They said this to mislead the people. The Pharisees and the Sadducees are gathered together. One suggests this, another that. In powerless rage, they clench their fists. Some propose a plan to kill Lazarus also, for as long as he remains alive, as a proof of the wonderful power of Jesus, they can accomplish nothing. Isn't it dreadful, boys and girls? Without a justifiable reason, they also would kill Lazarus, who was completely guiltless. They would murder this God-fearing man. Truly nothing, nothing is capable of bringing these foolish Jewish rulers to change their minds. Instead of acknowledging Jesus as the Messiah, who was promised long ago, their hearts are filled with plans of murder. Finally, night comes, and quietness returns in Jerusalem. It has been a restless Sabbath day for the members of the Sanhedrin, a Sabbath wherein fear and hate filled the hearts of these Pharisees and Sadducees of Jerusalem. You can be sure these Jewish rulers did not sleep peacefully that night. No doubt, they tossed about upon their beds, continually thinking and pondering about a way to kill this Jesus and this dangerous Nazarene. Shall they succeed? Quiet! Do you hear that? What is it? Far in the distance, we hear a confused noise. Is it a cry of war? No, it is not the noise of war. It seems to be more like the rejoicing of a great multitude. Listen, the sound comes closer. What could it be? We cannot see anything because the Mount of Olives lies before us. But behind this mount, the people are shouting and singing joyfully. Why are they? Come, children, in our thoughts we will go to see. Quickly we walk down the path to the valley, then climb the slope of the Mount of Olives. When we finally come to the top of the mount, we can see what is going on. A multitude of hundreds of Jews is approaching. Oh, look at them! They are so joyful. Their eyes sparkle with pleasure. They wave with their hands, in which they hold palm branches. They sing and cry happily, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, he who is the King of Israel. Who are these people? Look, in the center of this large approaching multitude is a strange group. A man is sitting upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Calmly, this animal walks on the road. Many Jews walk to and fro around this man. They lay their clothing upon the ground for him to ride on. He rides, as it were, upon a carpet of clothing. This man is the king. Therefore, the people rejoice and joyfully cry out, Hosanna! The man upon that mount is the Lord Jesus, the great prophet from Nazareth. But, Does Jesus permit this? Before, when he was in Galilee, the Jews wanted to make him king, but he refused. At that time, he constrained his disciples to go into the ship, after which he let the multitude go away. And now? Now he refuses not. But didn't the Lord Jesus go to Jerusalem at this time to suffer and to die? Why does he permit these people to pay homage to him as king? Why does he not forbid it? Listen, and I will try to make it clear to you. I have told you that on the Jewish Sabbath, on our Saturday, the Lord was in Bethany. Now it is Sunday morning, the first work day of the week for the Jews. Sunday is our day of rest, isn't it? In the morning, the Lord and his disciples leave the village of Bethany to go to Jerusalem. Many Jews who slept that night in Bethany go with them. These Jews are excited. They hope Jesus finally will ascend the throne. They expect he will establish his kingdom, and it seems as though they are right. As they approach the hamlet of Bethphage, the Lord Jesus sends two of his disciples to get a colt, the foal of an ass. He says to them, "Go into the village, and you will find a colt, the foal of an ass. Loose it and bring it here. If the owner asks you, 'Why loose ye the colt?' you must answer, 'The Lord hath need of him.'" The two disciples go and find everything exactly as the Lord Jesus had foretold. Who was the owner? We do not know. Most likely he was a man who believed in the Lord Jesus, because when the disciples tell him the Lord hath need of him, he makes no further inquiry but gives his permission. The disciples soon return with his mount to their master, and then they remove their outer garments and lay them on the colt to form a sort of saddle. They set the Lord Jesus upon the colt and go forward. There rides and their new king. Oh, wild rejoicing flares up into the hearts of Jesus' disciples. Finally, finally it has taken place. But this joy also takes possession of the people. At first, the multitude looks at this in astonishment, not understanding what is being done. But when they realize what it is, their eyes also sparkle with gladness. Yes, yes, it is good. Jesus is their king. But a king must receive kingly honors. Well then, they will give it to Jesus. They remove their outer garments and spread them upon the road before the Lord Jesus, so that he will ride on them. This is a sign of the greatest honor. Others break palm branches from the trees and cast these upon the clothing or wave them back and forth with their hands. They shout exultingly, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." This jubilation cry echoes over the hills of Judah's mountains. Look, a great multitude from Jerusalem also goes to meet Jesus. The Jews in Jerusalem hear about the prophet of Nazareth approaching. They hurry to meet him. And when they see the gladness of the people who are on the road to Jerusalem with Jesus, they also take palm branches from the trees. Therefore, the Sunday before Easter is still called Palm Sunday. These two groups approach each other with great joy and enthusiastic gladness. The ground trembles from the shouting. Both groups join, and together they walk to the city. They climb the Mount of Olives. And as they ascend to the top of this hill, The jubilating cry reaches its utmost heights, because before them, in all its splendor, lies the old city of David, Jerusalem. The beams of the sun reflect from the enormous building of the temple of the Lord. Oh, now the city shall be delivered from the yoke of the Romans. The kingdom of David shall be restored to its former glory. The time of its deliverance is at hand. Finally, finally it has arrived. Therefore they shout, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna. Look at the disciples, and they are filled with unknown gladness. Their fear, as well as their gloomy forebodings, is gone. Did they forget the words of their beloved Master? Didn't he tell them about his coming shameful death? Yes, he did, but they no longer think about that. Hosanna, Hosanna is also their jubilating cry. Behold, there rides their king, their beloved king. How glad he must be. Glad? Look at him and see if he is. Jesus also sees the city of Jerusalem in all her beauty, but the eyes of Jesus do not sparkle with gladness. His eyes fill with tears. He is weeping. Weeping? Why does he weep? Is he thinking about his suffering and death? And is he weeping because of that? Does he look up against it? Is he probably afraid? Why, no. Why then does he weep? Ah, the Lord Jesus, the omniscient God, doesn't look only 4 days ahead, but he looks ahead 40 years. Oh, terrible times shall come for this city, which is now basking in the sunlight. Mighty enemies shall come on this same Mount of Olives. The armies of the universal kingdom of Rome shall besiege the city, and they shall devastate and burn the city. He, who is omniscient, weeps because he knows that thousands, yes, tens of thousands, shall perish miserably in that desperate war, and they shall succumb from the famine. The pestilence shall drag them to the grave. The sword of the Romans shall strike them down. Mothers shall kill their children and eat them, becoming insane because of the gnawing hunger. He knows all this misery shall surely come. And why will it come? It will come because they reject him, the King of Israel. Reject him? No thought of that. They are shouting exultingly and enthusiastically. They are bringing him into Jerusalem with joy. Alas, this jubilating multitude is mistaken. They think Jesus shall establish an earthly kingdom, and they think they are bringing an earthly king into Jerusalem, and that he is not. He is the Savior, the suffering surety. He shall pour out his blood and give his life for his people. But these Jews are not aware of this. They do not desire a Savior. Therefore, in a few days, these same people will cry, Crucify him, crucify him, until their voices are hoarse. They shall nail him on the cross, which is cursed by God. For this reason, this punishment will come. The terrible punishment and the wrath of God shall surely come. The beautiful city of Jerusalem shall be completely ruined. The blood shall run along the steps of the altar, and a smoking heap of ruins shall be the dreadful end. Behold, boys and girls, the Lord Jesus weeps for that reason. Listen to his lamentable cry. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh, that you would realize your terrible error, and that you would bring me in as your Savior and Redeemer. And then this sigh is heard from his lips, but it is hidden from you. You take no notice of it. His warning voice is still heard. He tells this foolish multitude about the unheard of misery that will come. But no one listens. Why, no? Hosanna! Hosanna! A few Pharisees walk among the jubilating crowd. They hear and see all this with white faces and drawn lips. Their hearts pound with growing fear. This is exactly the thing which had filled them with fear. They mumble to each other, "Do you see we are accomplishing nothing? All our efforts are in vain. The whole world goes after him and believes in him." Nervously, they force themselves to the front and indignantly speak to Jesus, "Master, rebuke your disciples. Tell them they should be silent." But Jesus answers calmly, "No, the stones would begin to speak if they did not cry out." He means, this must take place, and that is why I will not forbid them at this time. The procession goes further. They descend the Mount of Olives and soon climb the hills of the city itself. Majestically, Jesus rides into the city. All Jerusalem becomes excited. The people hurry and ask in astonishment, "Who is this?" And exultingly, the enthusiastic multitude answer, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." But the thousands of Jews were disappointed. They expected Jesus to call them to the battle. They expected the cry would soon be heard, "Kill the Romans! Slay them! Slay them!" But when Jesus comes to the temple, he dismounts and enters the house of God. A few blind and crippled people come to him, and he cures them. But hearken! Suddenly, a few children cry, "Hosanna, the Son of David!" Ah, the children imitate the older people. Pharisees begin to mock. Scornfully, they say to Jesus, "Do you hear what they are crying?" They mean to say, "It now has become child's play. Dost thou permit that?" They are offended with it. Calmly, the Son of God answers, "Yes, I permit it, because even the little children and the sucklings shall sing to the honor of God." Meanwhile, evening has come. The Jewish people are disappointed. Why didn't Jesus call them to the combat? He is the King of Israel, isn't he? They do not understand. They certainly expected Jesus to establish his kingdom now. The Pharisees' fears slowly pass away. What they feared did not happen. The great uprising against the Romans did not take place. And while peace returns in Jerusalem after this noisy day, a small group of men walk in the dusk toward Bethany. These men are the Lord Jesus and his disciples. The disciples are disappointed also. However, they still follow their master, although the gladness is gone from their hearts. They soon reach the home of Martha. The Lord Jesus finally finds rest here after this tiresome day. I must still tell you one more thing about this eventful day. Probably some of you are thinking, why did the Lord Jesus permit all this to happen? Formerly he always refused. Why didn't he refuse it now? Listen attentively. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, we read, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." The prophet Zechariah lived during the time when the Jews, under the leadership of Jeshua and Zerubbabel, rebuilt the ruined temple. You remember, do you not? That was more than 500 years before this event took place. The prophet of the Lord foretold that the Lord Jesus would ride into Jerusalem upon a colt, the foal of an ass. This prophecy must be fulfilled. Therefore, the Lord Jesus permitted it this time. For this reason, the Lord Jesus had said to the Pharisees, if they were silent, the stones would speak. The prophecy of Zechariah is now fulfilled, precisely as it is written there. They have shouted, Jesus has ridden into Jerusalem upon a colt, the foal of an ass. O Pharisees and scribes, you know the Bible thoroughly. Take notice. Can't you yet realize Jesus of Nazareth is really the King of Israel, and that he really is the Messiah? No, children, they would not believe in the Savior, because there was no place in their hearts for the suffering surety. They hardened themselves under all the callings and warnings of God. You certainly can believe their conscience spoke, but they resisted this warning voice. Is this your image, boys and girls? Yes? If so, your end shall be dreadful.